Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, that's really, really bad. Not even pretty bad, really bad. The Raptors get 41 pieced, which I don't even know if that's like a turn of phrase or a thing people say. They got beat, bludgeoned, shellacked, which was the expected outcome of this game, you know, heading into it, you know, talking about this prior. I think I was asked on the Raptors show by Will, you know, how many mismatches are there in the starting lineup? And I think I said five. Just the way it shakes out, the Raptors were not set up to do well in this game. 139-98. Zion, the Pelicans, Trey Murphy goes for 10 triples. Brandon Ingram and Zion kind of get wherever they want. I'm streaming to like probably the smallest live audience ever. Nobody wants to listen to this game. Aleg, you watched the first half. Give me the initial lean you had in this one.
Basically, I'm watching the game and I'm seeing Zion basically bully RJ into the paint like 3-4 times in a row. I'm like, okay, so is this the type of game we're having? Brandon Ingram out here crisscrossing everyone into the rim.
He turned him around.
Yes, he turned around and then made. Oh man, that's so embarrassing. Just to think about, like, you literally lost a guy and then you see the guy,
the Chris Moop. Give this guy a map.
And like, and the dunk was amazing as well. Yeah, so it's like, okay, well, that's crazy. The shooting too. Basically, I'm watching the game and it's at first they're kind of like, you know, chugging along, like
they're
hitting the threes. But like, yeah, like they're, yeah, the Pelicans were just killing them with the threes and every time. So,
it's kind of like you wonder how the Raptors are gonna have what's the response to the firepower of the Pelicans, who are a good offense, who get to the rim, who, you know, when their guys have it going, obviously can shoot the hell out of the three-pointer. And God, did they ever in this game. They had 24 of 49 three-point shots, which is crazy. You know, Jonas Valanciunas went 2 for 2, which is like nuts to me.
That's that's an indicator. It was like, you just kind of, you throw the white flag and it's like, thank you. That was a good game. Thank you, sir.
The towel is thoroughly thrown in. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, Darko mentioned it after the game. You can definitely coach your team into a better outcome than this if outcomes are different than W's and L's for you. But there is no decision-making that can cover 41 points. This was, from the outset, a matchup loss. This was, from the outset, a talent loss. And then once the game was actually started to be played, mm-hmm. this was a competition loss. Like, mm-hmm. just, they didn't meet the moment. Mm-hmm. There are several tenets that create, you know, the circumstances for which you play basketball games. The Raptors were thoroughly outclassed in every single one. And you know what? It's not that big a deal, but it's not good for tonight.
Yeah, it's a scary thing to think about. Like, you have, first of all, you have just a rundown team basically at this point. Like, you lost all the key players. You got like RJ and Quickly doing their best.
Yakov had surgery today.
Yep.
On his pinky finger.
God damn. Yeah, well, look at that. Another one for the boys. Well, okay, so that's just, first of all, that just really shows what kind of season they're having. Just a roller coaster of like emotions and just terrible luck.
I don't think it's much of a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Because there's like no up. Way down. There's no up. It's just down. What is the thing in the world that just like goes down? There's like, obviously you have to get into like the realms of existence, mm-hmm. to like, you know, there's like Salvador Dali did like, you know, purgatory, hell, and then like heaven, mm-hmm. and like the ascension through it, yeah, all. Yeah, yeah. But he had like this Dante's Inferno thing. that I went to in Toronto that was pretty good. But anyway, we're getting a bit far afield from basketball. Thanks for giving us your opinion on it. Before we get out,
all eight people watching.
That was Coco says from national TV to eight people in one day, which is really funny. So the Raptors, they lose the hell out of this game as if they were born to do it. As if this was their, you know, as it was written, you know, they were supposed to lose this game. Honestly, let's start with the players who played well. And while I don't think that Gary Trent Jr. was like a rock star or anything, I think that 6 of 12 in this game and 4 of 10 from downtown, a lot of them just self-created. A lot of them just like, this is a guy using a live dribble, getting to his spot and hitting a jumper. Well done to Gary for that in this game, because the Raptors did not easily come by offense in this game. Just to run down the statistics, like Jordan Wara, he got 15 shots up. He actually led the Raptors in shot attempts this game. He hit 4 of them. Not good. You know, DJ Carton was 0 for 2. Jamias Ramsey was 1 for 3. Grady, you know, after singing his praises for quite some time, he had that fallback game a little bit. He goes 1 for 7. Quickly, 6 for 14. 43% is not a home run by any means in the NBA these days. Kelly Olynyk, 4 for 9. Ochai, 1 for 4. Nobody's hitting shots, man. Three guys. Javon at 57% and 13 points. RJ Barrett at 50% and 15 points. And Gary Trent Jr. at 16 points on 12 shots. These are the only guys who cleared 50% from the field. And obviously, that's a bad thing if you're trying to outscore a team. It's also bad if on the other end you just can't defend them either. And the mismatch was quite obvious, you know. It's not so much that the Pelicans ended up playing zone and having it succeed against the Raptors in this game. It's not so much that, you know, the Raptors didn't shoot the ball well. It's that the Raptors didn't have anybody on the team, anybody on the roster currently who's healthy, who can step in front of Zion Williamson. And I don't even blame RJ for not being able to handle Zion. Nobody in their right mind should ask him to man that matchup. Or Ochai, they just don't have the guys. So what did they do? They loaded up. They loaded up on Zion. They loaded up on, you know, Ingram. And it's not a surprise that Zion was able to get 9 assists in like 25 minutes and was a plus 28. It's not a surprise that Brandon Ingram hardly had to take any shots and had 6 assists. It's not a surprise that Herb Jones, early on, while talking trash to like Garrett Temple, is able to go 5 of 8 from downtown. And that Trey Murphy, working off of all the rotations the Raptors are making and cheating over to the middle to try and protect the paint, that we see him go 10 of 14 from downtown. Of course, you can't really justify 10 of 14 from like, oh, he was open, but because 10 of 14 is an outlier no matter what. But I'm pretty sure Trey Murphy has hit, like, coming into this game, I think he had hit 16 or 17 threes in the 3 or 4 games prior, and obviously banged 10 of them tonight. By the way, Coco asked me, I think it was after last game, if I had seen the Trey Murphy video. I finally saw it today of his mom grilling him about his free throws. I don't think anybody's going to be grilling him after this one. He had, 34 points in almost the shortest order possible. Took 17 shots, 14 of them were threes. Hit 11 from the field, 10 from downtown. Absurdity. Najee Marshall, like, they were punking the Raptors, man. Najee Marshall hit like a little fadeaway on Grady Dick and then did the too small on him. And I was like, damn, why is Grady getting too small? You know, Najee Marshall has like been like kind of like a role player his whole life. And I don't know, maybe I just haven't been up on the Najee Marshall stuff. It's like, maybe he's like a trash talker at heart and he really likes that kind of stuff. But I was like, damn, why is Grady getting caught up in this? I can't believe it. Coco also says on the broadcast, they said that Zion is the same height as RJ, but has 70 pounds on him. There's a lot of different body types in the world. To have like the same height, but, and Zion is not like, you look at him, he carries a lot of weight, yes, but you certainly can't say he's like not fit. The things he can do, just the different types of body types and how they carry weight and what that looks like and what people are able to do. Gosh, we're all so different, you know? And geez, you couldn't have expected RJ to hang with Zion. Nesta says, tough night at the office for many tonight. Happy to see Moji and JFL get some run. Still baffled why Boucher is being benched. Did anybody ask Darko? Nobody asked Darko, but there was chance. I remember I was in the building. People were chanting for Boucher to get minutes. So, Why is Boucher not getting minutes? I couldn't tell you, to be quite honest with you. And that's not the question I asked Darko either. But because it wasn't like top of mind. My guess for why Boucher isn't getting minutes, and I don't expect like that to be the question that's answered honestly, maybe in like a scrum, but Boucher is effective, honestly. Like he brings his lunch pail, he goes to work, he might win you some minutes. And honestly, maybe the Raptors are not so invested in winning some minutes. I gotta be honest with you. Cause like and they're full on into like development or attempts at development or just like seeing guys, right? Because if Boucher plays, then you get less time with Jonte Porter, and maybe you don't get the pick and pop three from Jonte Porter, but you also maybe don't get the Jonte Porter short roll where he catches, surveys, and throws the ball 18 feet into the stands. That's kind of what it is. You know, it's hard to like sell it as development when half the guys who are playing have been signed off of two ways or are two way players or just like, you know, ramshackle, the roster has been built, and this is what we're seeing at this point. You know, they can start being intentional now, sure, but to say that the Raptors have been like intentional and extremely so about the development of like Muhammadu Gueye and Javon Freeman Liberty and Jamias Ramsey and like DJ Carton is not true, because some of those guys weren't even on the roster or even in the organization at that point. So why isn't Chris Boucher playing? Maybe because he doesn't have the carte blanche to be like part of the Raptors stuff going forward, and other players' minutes are being prioritized above him, which I think is, for Chris, sad, not fun to not play. He loves the game. Like, you see him. He has an effervescence when he gets out there on the floor, but he's just not out there. And Chris Boucher can play in these games. He's certainly good enough. I wouldn't say political, but it's just like the machinations of top-down development and trying to make things happen, that kind of stuff, basketball operations, it seems like he is at the mercy of it right now. I don't know what that means for his career as a Raptor. I'm not exactly sure, but that's kind of where we're at. We get the games now. Like, Jakob Poeltl is not out there. Scottie Barnes, he was the guy who was able to take some lineups and march them past like terrible up to mediocrity, and take some other lineups and march them to winning minutes. He's not here. He's not saving them. And Jakob Poeltl could like march them to mediocrity. He could batten down the hatches on defense, and he could provide them with a lot of like interesting connector stuff on offense, and he could roll and hit push shots, and none of that's here. And so the Raptors are existing in that like nasty, nasty middle ground of, maybe not even a middle ground, maybe they're thoroughly polarized at this point in time, but like, you know, Jordan Woro led the team, and I like Jordan. You know, I spoke highly of him, have spoken highly of him. You know, I think that he's an NBA-level player, but when Jordan Woro is leading your team in shot attempts, your team is not serious about, not even like contention, but they're not serious about like play-in level stuff. And Jordan, I mean, he won't tell you that, but he's probably looking around at the end of this game being like, damn, I took the most shots. That's not that common for a guy like me. But as you said, Nesta, like, happy to see Moji and JFL get some run. That's what these games got to be a little bit. You got to make your bones with it, man. Like, this is a team that we're going to see Ochai put up a lot of shots. RJ and Quickly are going to have to keep getting stuff up. Kelly is going to like have a certain level of volume. And all the other guys are going to like try and step in and get their own volume too. Grady goes 1-for-7. Not a good game. It was like a horror show. Like, it was almost like the piano was slowly playing like in Jaws when you saw him dribbling up towards Zion and the pressure was coming from the back that he didn't notice. He went between the legs. He gets blown up. Zion goes down. Does like the LeBron imitation dunk. The big hand out. Extension way down low, pop. Then after the game, right after I'd waited like an hour to talk to Emmanuel Quickly because I wanted to talk to him about his jump shot, I walk in, I see Zion, and it's like immediately somebody asked him like, hey, are you going to be in the dunk contest? And I don't know how often he gets to ask that question. I'm not watching, you know, media availabilities for the Pelicans. But he was like, if I'm in the All-Star game, I'll do it. Whoa, that's awesome. Like, the Raptors are not trying to win games anyway. If a big game against Toronto in the early part of March gets that quote and eventually gets Zion into a dunk contest, then the basketball gods, you know, the Raptors fans, you've lain yourself bare before them and you've committed a sacrifice that everyone should deem worthy. I'd love to see him in the dunk contest. His bounce is insane. But he said he has to be in the All-Star game. And he's kind of in control of that, right? Well, not necessarily he is in control of that. His body being healthy. I don't mean healthy as in, like, you know, the weird comments about his weight or anything. I mean healthy as in, like, just, like, not injured. Capable of playing NBA-level basketball. So I hope he's there, man. That's cool to see. As far as, like, I don't know. Good stuff in this game. Talked about Gary. And then quickly, very early on in this game, of course, it did not end up sticking throughout the game, but quickly is able to bring a certain level of punch to the offense early on. Can some triples, very aggressive looking for his shot. Once again, I think he had some limitations as far as, like, getting downhill, creating is easily. And, you know, I talked to Darko about that prior to the game, and I was talking about, like, his numbers in the pick and roll, and Darko had mentioned, like, yeah, but even maybe more important than the numbers is the type of defense that's being played against him. Like, he's getting a lot of trap and a lot of, you know, blitz, and I understand that, and that's, I think that's probably Darko being, you know, maybe a little bit diplomatic, because I'm sure Darko is aware of, you know, Quickly's underwhelming numbers, not only in the pick and roll, but some of the underwhelming film in that regard too. And they're just looking for Quickly to make the right play and the right read. But as a lead ball handler, I know those words are nice. It's like, make the right read. But sometimes the right read isn't good. Like, if I'm on an NBA court, there's a correct read for me to make. And the correct read would always be, like, a very conservative pass, so I'm no longer on the ball. And the correct read for, like, lesser players isn't dangerous, isn't advantageous a lot of times. Like, the correct read can just be, like, move the ball on to a player who's more capable of creating advantage. It's not just about the correct read for Emmanuel. It's about, like, putting pressure with a live dribble so that the correct read is no longer, like, a simple pass to a short roll, but it's, like, you get all the way downhill, you put pressure on the rim. The correct read can be a bucket for yourself, or can be a layup or a corner three for somebody else. Like, that's the type of creation we're waiting on. And that I hope he's capable, you know, of providing. Now, confidence index on, like, Quickly being a major pick and roll hub, I'm not sure. I'm very confident about him being, like, a dynamic DHO guy with Jakob and Scotty into the future, even though, you know, the latter stuff hasn't popped off yet. I think it has the potential to, and I hope that it does. But he's going to get numbers. But, like, even in a game like this, like, he plays 33 minutes, 17-7. A lot of players would have been able to get up more in this game. And that's, like, and there's some players are better served in, you know, in the vacuum of being like, okay, it's time to go get some volume, you know, and Quickly's better than some guys who could put up more than 17-7, but we need a little bit more from Emmanuel, honestly. And he's figuring stuff out on the fly, of course, but, like, he's not that young. But this is also his first go at being, like, a, you know, the top guy, the top guard on a team. And, you know, I've been impressed with some aspects of it. Other aspects, maybe not so much. Nesta says, any chance the team sits Gary for the season for the sake of development minutes for the rest of the guards? I don't think so, because I think, like, I just, maybe if they signed Gary, I don't know. But I think that would be, if I'm Gary in his camp, I'm like, the hell? No, you're not going to sit me. I got to go play. I'm in a contract season. I'm trying to earn money. If I'm going to, like, if I'm Gary, he had 16 points tonight. He played 29 minutes. He probably could have got up more than 12 shots. I'm trying to get buckets if I'm Gary. I'm trying to remind everybody, like, I have significant off the dribble juice as a shot maker, maybe not as a creator or a playmaker, but, like, you put the ball in my hands, I can hit some shots. I want everybody to know if I'm Gary, and I want the minutes to do it. I want the reps to do it. And honestly, I think that there's enough. Scotty's not probably not coming back, right? He had a similar surgery that I had. And I just think, like, there's enough shots in this game. Like, Gary takes 12. Wara takes 15 in less than 20 minutes. Grady takes 7 and 27. Would have liked to see a little bit more from him, but I understand why he felt limited and why he was limited. And Gary, there's room for Gary. I don't think it'll be that drastic. Nesta says, what does Gary do to earn 10 times JFL's deal? I'm not exactly sure what you mean. But, like, JFL has, like, what, like, the standard NBA contract now, which I actually don't know what that would be. Like, what, 2 point something, but over the course of the rest of the season? I don't know what 10x of the like, JFL signing for, like, 20-something games. I don't know what that would be, actually, because I don't know JFL split up into, like, this portion of the season. So, but what does Gary have to do to earn, like, his next contract is just shoot the three well. He shoots the three. He shoots the three well enough that he'll dictate that somebody's interested, and then they'll see that, like, he's capable of providing, like, a pretty good level of ball pressure on defense, even if it comes with mistakes. And Gary, I know that people are, including myself, like, have been underwhelmed with his growth as, like, a playmaker and, honestly, like, some backsliding as a defender, but that doesn't mean he's going to have trouble, like, earning money in the NBA. It just means that he's very clearly not going to be able to, like, aim for the lofty expectation that he had in the middle of last season, where he's eyeing the summer and, like, maybe $25 million per. Manuel Quickley probably not even getting $25 million per. I mean, maybe he gets close, but Gary certainly isn't. So, but he'll make money. Like, he'll definitely be able to earn money, as he well deserves. Man, I got some yawns coming in. It's been a long day. I did, like, the Raptors show, then did the game. Now I'm here. The transit system was all screwed up. Like, I don't know. It's hard to get back out to Rexdale sometimes from downtown, because sometimes they're, like, shuttle buses instead. Sometimes they're screwy with all the systems. And then sometimes there's just, like, a security breach on the subway. And I never know what that is. But anyway, my apologies. Because this one, I know I usually go an hour, but this one, we're not sticking around for an hour. I mean, S already published his recap, which wasn't a recap. It's just, like, him talking to, I think people just asking questions, right? And I watched a bit of it, and there's, like, there's, like, a minute of him talking about me being bald. That's the coverage we're getting tonight. I'm been remarkably on topic given the game we had. I really wonder what Will, if he's doing a reaction pod for this, he's probably already done. I wonder what his sounded like. Probably, you know, I think today on the show he said, I give understanding parent energy at the parent-teacher interview, and he was like Tiger Parent. Maybe there's a Tiger Parent tonight. I think I've seen responses to S's video, and I see some tweet responses. I guess there's always interest about Darko after these games. Always interest about Darko. Like, and then immediately it's like, Darko is not a head coach. He's supposed to be an assistant coach. He's not the leader of men. He doesn't do X, Y, or Z. And, like, I understand why people would be frustrated. I really don't understand what a coach is meant to do in a game like this. And if the difference in the NBA is because they played to a scheme, the Raptors did play to a scheme. They overloaded on Brandon Ingram. They overloaded on Zion Williamson. And they didn't necessarily even overload on CJ McCollum. And on top of that, I think that they did pretty good, like, swarming Jonas early on in the game in the paint. And they hung around when they were shooting well enough. And the compete level on defense was definitely there until they got bludgeoned by the best shooting night that the Pelicans will have all season. And they won't come, like, they won't hit 24 of 49 again this year. That's just not going to happen. And, like, the cool thing about Trey Murphy and why I love him so much is, like, he gets open, but he can do it 6 feet behind the arc, and he can kind of, like, extend your defense. So you're not really playing fair. What should Darko do in this game instead? Why is this, you know, a referendum on him as a coach? I don't think it is, but, you know, kind of playing devil's advocate to myself, why would it be? I mean, you could say, I thought the scheme made sense. given their limitations, I'm not playing devil's advocate yet, obviously. I'm still in defense of Darko, I suppose. I think their scheme made sense given their limitations. Like, you're talking about a team that's leading. Nobody considers Kelly Olynyk like a defensive stopper or like a hardy big man who can hold down the paint. Never. He's been considered a finesse big for his whole career. And that guy is the back line you're working with. He's the baseline. And then you have Jontay Porter, who is, again, not considered like the hardy big. He's considered a finesse big. And on top of that, you have like no power forwards. You have Ochai Agbaji, who's like 6'5". RJ, who's like 6'6". Gary is 6'4", 6'5". Quickly is 6'4", 6'5". Grady, sure. If you go to like Cleaning the Glass, he's 6'8". If you go to other websites, he's like 6'6" without shoes. Jordan Wara, similar thing. But like, there's no size here. And that's not even to say like, there's no size, but there's no dynamic size to keep up with Zion. So what do? You have to overload. What happens when you overload? You're going to make other people shoot threes. It just so happens after Herbert Jones had so much trouble shooting the three to start this season that he's been one of the best three-point shooters in the whole NBA over the past, like, you know, not even handful of games, like month of basketball. He's been awesome. Trey Murphy is a heat pump who's coming into his own, who started off the year slow, but has been hitting a crazy amount of threes. The Raptors found a Pelicans team that the guys have been shooting the hell out of the basketball, and you have to try and stop somebody. And they figured, like, we're going to try and stop Zion. Zion finished 7 of 11. And as far as, like, field goal percentage, that's well in line with where he's at. Like, 63% is not crazy high for a guy like Zion. He passes out coming into this game of 27% of his drives. Make him do the thing he's maybe a little bit less comfortable with. And he had a hell of a playmaking game. This team was too thin. I am okay, of course, with critiques of Darko. Of course. But you look at the rosters coming into this game, try and make sense of the route to a win that the Raptors have. Try it. I think it would be dishonest to say, like, you see an easy path, especially when it's tough to control for three-point percentage of the other team. It's easier to control for volume. If the other team hits 24 threes, it's over, man. And that's what this game was. Before it even tipped off, it was over. The Raptors, they started out like, I commend them. They swarmed on defense. They battled on the glass. They hit their shots early. They were in it. But they're just not a good team right now. They weren't even a good team before everybody got injured. And now everybody's injured. This is how it shakes out, man. You know? RJ Barrett and Emmanuel Quickley, they can lead you past the Hornets with a half of basketball that includes Jakob Poeltl. They can. And kudos to them for that. And I enjoyed that game. They can't do it against these Pelicans. No way in hell. You know? Nesta says should have played on ice to give them a home field advantage. LOL. Something, right? KSM says how many of those threes were wide open? I don't actually have those numbers right now. But a lot of them were open, of course. A lot of what happened was, like, the Raptors would overload and leave a guy in a weak side zone, and then that would leave one guy to split two players. And what the Pelicans did a lot of the time wasn't actually to, like, cut in and draw the player in to leave the other player open, but they just leave the two guys on the outside, and they would just honestly get the ball to one of the players, and they'd just ping the ball back and forth between the one defender to split them, and they'd create obviously an open three-point shot. But they had to overload. If he didn't overload on Zion, he would have had an insane amount of shots. And I understand from the point of view of thinking, like, okay, what is more likely? That Zion reliably scores like 46 points if we don't overload, if we just leave everybody to the wolves and say, like, Ochai, can you guard him one-on-one? We know you can't, but do it. RJ, can you guard him one-on-one? We know you can't, but do it. That's really reliable. Zion is very capable of just killing you in the paint. He can do it. We've seen it. The Pelicans, Herb Jones, he's hot now. Trey, hot now. But they'd been streaky earlier this year. The Raptors made a bet from a schematic point of view that, like, to hang with this Pelicans team, who's way better than they are with healthy team. And even, you know, when the Raptors are so thin, way better. What do you chance it on? They tried to get 3-point variance. Didn't come around. They lost by 41. 41 daggone points, man. So quite a few wide open threes, I think so. But that's what happens when you have to overload on a superstar. And Zion has not been healthy enough to like collect his accolades and get the full breadth of what he's able to do. But he looked healthy tonight. And the Raptors are playing like 6 G League or G League adjacent players. They don't have it, man. Sungjin Woo says, just hit the like. That's right. We're here at 1 a.m. talking hoops after the Raptors get beat by 41 points, man. Helps. I don't know if anybody's looking for this video in the morning. Like, oh, I need to hear about the Raptors getting absolutely dominated. I would love to hear about something like that. Probably just like the... There are some podcast listeners who, you know, my podcast is part of their routine. I assume on a night like tonight, I'm mostly filling that void. Whereas, you know, you can tell on some games, you know, based on the viewership, is like there's an influx of people who like to listen after a win or a close game or a fun game. That makes sense to me. And there's some people who are listening no matter what. The people who listen no matter what. Very special place in my heart. Thank you. We got 30 minutes on this bad boy. I feel like that's about it. I don't know how to stretch this thing any longer. Shout out to Javon Freeman Liberty. I think he played a really fun game. He came in, cashed a triple, brought palpable energy, and Darko talked about that. And then talking to him after the game, he big time sweetheart. Just he was beaming, man. He was excited about the game he just played. He's excited about being converted. Life-changing money immediately. Happy for Javon, big time. And, you know, the cool thing is, I talked to Emmanuel after this game, too. He was not as beaming. He was not as pleased as Javon. But it's not going to be Emmanuel and RJ who are winning at this point in the season. They'll have their meaningful, you know, they'll have some small developmental gains, I'm sure. But the end of this season, where everybody's injured, on, like, back to what... In the span of a week, they lose Scotty Barnes and Jakob Poeltl to surgeries on their left hand. And what are the expectations of the remaining roster, right? It can't be lofty. It can't even be well below lofty. We have to be honest about what this team is. And the guys who get to win during this part of the season are the scouts who start paying attention. Stay tuned for myself and Josh Codonaire to talk about some prospective players the Raptors can or Raptors fans can pay attention to coming ahead of the draft, because they will be involved. And Jontay Porter, Javon Freeman Liberty, Jordan Wara, Grady Dick, DJ Carton, Jamais Ramsey, Muhammad Ugi. It's just like, that's what it is. These are the guys who win this part of the season. And Blake Murphy, because he's going to be a little freak paying attention to all of it. Like, he's going to have, like, a couple stat queries queued up, certainly. Coco says Javon is a very charismatic interview. His smile lit his face up. It certainly did. And, like, you could feel it in the room. I think it was Adam took a picture of me. But Javon was kind of, like, hunched over. You obviously can't see us. But I was, like, sitting in a chair, but leaning over another chair. And we were just kind of, like, leaning in. Having a nice conversation, both just smiling about, like, we're talking about cutting, actually. And yeah, he was enjoying it. So good for Javon. Nesta says, by the way, have you reintroduced yourself to Kelly? If so, how was it? I haven't yet. I was in Mexico and this was the first game I went back to, and actually I haven't talked to Kelly yet. I still have to. But the Gonzaga connection will be good. I'm certain. You guys always love the college they went to. They're always like, oh, hell yeah. So, I guess basketball players probably have a pretty good time at college. Those are probably fond days for them, honestly. So, yeah, that feels like a podcast. If anybody wants more from myself, you can go to The Raptor Show on YouTube. The last 2 days, I co-hosted with William Liu. My co-hosting is now done. Amit Mann, who I adore and I appreciate very much, will be co-hosting Wednesday and Thursday if you want to pay attention to he and Will. And I think they'll have some really good guests coming up this week. So big shout out to the rotating cast. I think it was myself, S, Amit, Lindsay, and Vivek. And I'm just glad people got like a shot to do it. And then Blake comes back, which is boring because Blake is the worst, obviously. But yeah, just if you want to hear me talk about a wide range of things, go say nice things so that the Sportsnet people think I have more weight as a, you know, an online talker than I do, so that they hire me full time. Let's rig this bad boy. Anyway, thanks to everybody for tuning in. These are jokes, by the way. Please do not be. Anyway, I'm glad everybody tuned in afterwards. Thanks for tuning in to, like, you know, just a slog of a game and a late night ramble, certainly. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Whether you got into this in the morning or at night, have a blessed day and goodbye.